You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 997. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, we have Paris.
What is going on? We are here in San Francisco, man.
Yeah, and also we have a special guest, man, Tony Polanco. What's up, Tony?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Having fun? Good.
Yeah, it's going great, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Good, good. We're going to have a couple things we're going to talk about in a few minutes, but first, head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, listen to our past episodes, and yeah, send us an email. Questions, we get a lot of fan mail questions, so this is how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, this is the first time you're here since the announcement about our 1,000 episode,
yes.
Phil Spencer.
Yes.
Where were you when Phil Spencer posted at 2 o'clock in the morning in Japan that he's going to be on a show?
I was asleep in my bed, and I usually get up like 5 in the morning, you know, 4:45, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I see the notification, like in our private chat with Pete, right? And I go, huh, what is this? And I saw Pete go, oh, my God. Phil Spencer sent a tweet. So I was like, okay, what is this? So I go to Twitter and I was like, oh my God, he accepted the invite on Twitter. And like, you know, notifications just exploded, people congratulating and all that kind of stuff. So it was really cool of him. So I really, you know, and I think, what did I do? I had made like a little quick little video or something like that. And I put out there just thanking him for accepting our invite. And I'm excited for it, man. I think it'll be a great conversation that we'll have with him. You know, I tried to set expectations on Twitter to let people know, like, look, we are not going to ask him things that he cannot answer. So yeah. I am not going to say, hey, Phil, how much is the Series X and when is it coming out?
Yeah,
can you tell me?
He can't
he's
do
it. He's not going
to
answer.
No, we're
like
going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And yo, it's all up to him how he's going to answer. We're just going to ask questions, though, stuff that's been announced, is already out, stuff that we're curious about from conversations, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a great conversation. I can't wait.
I mean, the best way to think of it for anyone listening to this that's anticipating the interview, anything that is public knowledge is fair game.
Yeah.
But if they've not announced it, think about it. They have a roadmap for these announcements on when they want to talk about it, when they want to reveal things. So unless Phil, out of his own kind heart, decides, hey, I'm going to break this news on Gamertag Radio, don't expect it.
Yeah.
You can't. Yeah. But anything that we know, the Series X is out there. We can talk about the Series X. We can, we can talk about Game Pass. We can talk about Game Cloud. We can talk about their strategy that leads them up to this. Things like that. You just got to look at it that way. But regardless, I mean, if you ever heard Phil Spencer on an interview, he's always a great listen. I think he's always been very fair with his answers. I mean, I know some people think he gets a little PR speaky, but I just think he's being honest most of the time. And yeah, it should be a good conversation. I'm really looking forward to it.
So I played our interview that we had back in 2014. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it's been a couple of years. It's been 6 years.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
So hearing that once again now in 2020, you're like, wow, I think we did a pretty good job with the
conversation. We did a pretty good job. And like I told you offline, it was funny with me. I was nervous. I was nervous when we did it. And you can't tell that I am, obviously, when you're listening to it. But I know. Like, I could tell, like, I'd asked something about the Halo Master Chief Collection. I kind of stumbled over the way I did it. Like, I know me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was fighting over my words on that one. I didn't know what I was saying. Yeah. But, you know, like I thought the way I asked the question about Kinect was fair. And obviously he thought so as well. And, you know, we brought up the whole game share thing, which I'm still waiting on. I wish they would bring that back. Yeah,
You think they're going to bring that back?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they are at this point. I mean, the way they're doing Game Pass and all that now, there's really not a need. I mean, they'd rather get everyone to subscribe versus doing the game sharing stuff. But, yeah, it's interesting to hear them talk about Kinect back then because they had just separated it from the Xbox bundle and they lowered the price of the Xbox One to $399. And like I'd asked them, like, okay, what incentive are you going to get people to pick up Kinect now that it's not there? Honestly, he really didn't have an answer.
He answered I think it was like Harmonix, one of the games. But that's about it. Yeah. I mean, there was really nothing big. Was it Fantasia?
Yeah, that was supposed to be
another one too. Yeah. But that's about it. Like, those are the only two games I remember that big. Like, wow, this is pretty good.
But it brought back memories from that time when obviously we were talking about all that stuff. And I just remember my big thing was price. I was like, I don't care if you have Kinect in there, but you need to give it away because the Xbox One needed to match the price of the PlayStation 4. You can't put that. You basically can't charge $100 tax for that camera when there's not a lot of great use cases for it.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what happened. And they wind up taking it out and obviously lowering the price or whatever, but that's what hurt them in that first year. I mean, we can talk about the bad messaging. We can talk about all that stuff. We can talk about whatever games were out at that time, any of that. But ultimately, in my opinion, it was $499, $399. That camera was not a justification for $100 more. It just wasn't.
Yeah. No, listening to the episode, it brought back a lot of memories of the conversation we had. And honestly, it was cool that Microsoft contacted us for us to interview Phil. It wasn't like we tried to request. Yeah. Like, after that, we tried for years, and it was always declined. And I respect that. You know, I understand that part of the side of the business, you know, but I was talking to Paris back last year, and I'm like, Paris, man, 1,000 episode coming up, man. I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I have no idea. And Paris were like, you know what, Danny, you started Xbox podcast. I think you should contact Microsoft and ask to see if you could get Phil. That will be the perfect person for your 1,000 episode. So I did. Sometime last year, I didn't hear anything for months, man, until recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm in shock, and I'm ready for it, man. Like, I think it's going to be
I'm
happy, too, that Microsoft gave us that opportunity.
And I'm going to say this, and this is coming from me. This is not coming from Danny. This is directly from me. And I've said this many a times. I'm not here right now with Tony and Danny in this hotel room if it wasn't for Danny back in 2006. I even found the original emails that I sent to Danny and Chris recently, August of 2006. New podcast. I need some tips. That's what I said. And they reached out to me and here we are today. But yeah, Phil was the person to get because Gamertag Radio started as an Xbox centric podcast and it has grown over the past 15 years to become something even bigger than that. But at its core, it started with Xbox. So it is just fitting that the head of Xbox for the 1,000th episode comes on Gamertag Radio. Like I said, we've already talked to him in the past. We've talked to many people, you know, over there at Xbox. So we're already very familiar with all of them. So it's nothing new in that sense. But being able to have an extended conversation with Phil, I think for the 1,000th episode, especially coming into 2020, with it being the most important year they've ever had. Like I've said a million times, Halo Infinite is the most important game they've ever made. They're doing a new strategy now with the way that they're presenting the hardware, all that stuff. So I just think it's a great opportunity to have them on. And I'm going to address this. And again, this is coming from me. So you can take all your hate mails directly at me because you do it anyways. I've seen the Twitter comments that after Phil said what he said. And I know some people seem to think that we don't, quote unquote, deserve to be talking to Phil and should be other people, or who are these guys? We've never heard of them. Well, if you're listening to this right now, tune in to episode 1000 and judge it for yourself if we deserved to talk to Phil or it should have been someone else. I mean, I think, again, I'll just speak for myself. I won't speak for Danny on this. But, you know, I've seen comments where, oh, you guys are super critical of Xbox. And my counter to that has always been, I am critical, but I am fair. I am most critical of the things that I love. I am not here right now without Xbox. I was an Xbox MVP for years. A lot of the early opportunities that I got in this industry were because of Xbox. So trust me, I'm very appreciative of that fact, and I've always held that. So yeah, when 2013 happened, I wasn't happy, and I expressed what they needed to change. And guess what? Since 2016, they've been changing that. So again, if you think we hate Xbox, if you think I'm too critical, that's your opinion. God bless you. But all I would say is actually listen to these episodes. And if you listen to the things that we say and you still think that way, then hey, so be it. But I don't agree.
You want to say anything up, Tony, before we go to the next things?
Just want to say, you know, pretty much congratulations on that. You know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, yo, Danny, I think you're the only gaming podcast that's going to hit 1,000 episodes. And you weren't too sure. And I went on Twitter, I asked, and yeah, it seems that's the case. There's others, you know, that have reached hundreds of episodes, but not to that degree, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really want to address the hate stuff too much, but, you know, it kind of comes to expect it. But all that stuff aside, man, it's so dope that you're getting Phil Spencer on, because, you know, Xbox coming out with a new system, and then the fact that Gamer Tag Raider started as a Xbox-centric podcast, that's a great accomplishment, man. And as a guy who's seen you guys, you know, come up over the years, it makes me so happy, so proud to, like, just see this, you know, and that's going to be a huge episode, man. Like, you guys are already really big right now. When that comes out,
yeah,
it's going to go even crazier, bro.
Yeah, and I'm just curious to see what Phil has to say. And he's been very active on Twitter lately, a lot active, so... We're just going to have a conversation and we'll see what happens from there, man. You know, we're going to have fun with this, man. You know, I had a great time talking to him back in 2014. And we see Phil every time at events, like, you know, off the record stuff. We just chill.
I just saw him at the Game Awards.
Yeah.
I mean, you know?
Yeah. It's not like we don't know him. Like, you know, he sees us. He knows what's up. Like, actually, he looked at Paris like, hey, like he knows Paris because of the whole Xbox VR stuff. You know, it was cool. It was cool. Yeah. So, Tony, let's talk about speaking about next gen. Was it today? Was it the controller of the PlayStation?
That was actually earlier this week.
Earlier this week. So tell us what's going on with that, man. Right. And how's the design and your thoughts about this?
Yeah, so earlier this week, GDC was happening. Oh, no, GDC is not happening yet. It was announced, right? So the official GDC Twitter put out an image, you know, pretty much saying, hey, GDC is happening, blah, blah, blah. But there was an image there of the PlayStation 5 controller. Like, and it was like close to the patents that have been around and stuff. So what we see in this image is I'm just speaking for myself personally. They got rid of the light bar in the back, right? Which probably drained a lot of battery. It's just a light strip in the front. Mm-hmm. The touchpad is the same. That hasn't really been changed. The thumb pads are a little bit, you know, you and I talked about this, a little bit more like an Xbox, more concave, I believe it is.
Yeah.
The grips have like rubber on them, you know, make it grip. But other than that, no, the D-pad's different too. It's more of a cross now. Right. Everything else seems about the same. The triggers seem about the same. The face button seem about the same. They changed the share button and the pause button a little bit, you know, okay. But for the most part, it's a standard DualShock controller, just a little bit modified, you know, and I like the design because I was not I'm not a fan of the light bar, you know, so I'm just that's just a little strip, mm-hmm. You know, what'd you think of it?
I think it looks really good, man. It looks much better than the one that's out now. And we talked about this too, like the analog sticks remind us of the Xbox controller. So it's gonna be good. D-pad looks great. Thank God that they removed that light from the front and put that so small. So at least you know which one is gonna be player one, player two. I think that's perfect. I'm not too thrilled about the pad, the touchpad.
Yeah.
Don't care much about that, but who knows, maybe it's gonna be better for next gen. Right.
My thinking is that they had to keep it because remember, PS5 is backwards compatible, right? You're still going to need that touchpad for some PS4 games. The earlier ones, like the later ones, you don't need anymore. But you can't, like, if you want to play Infamous Second Son, you need that touchpad.
Yeah, I used that a lot for that game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's the reason it's still in there, because if they got rid of it and you want to play Infamous Second Son, you're You know, you can't really play the game effectively, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the reason. But yeah, other than it, because again, you know, we talked about this earlier. That thing's just a glorified select button. That's all it really is now, you know?
Yeah.
It never really had any function.
Yeah. So, Paris, want to say something real quick?
I selfishly like that button because I'm so used to using it in Destiny. Like, if I try to do it on Xbox, it just feels weird when I try to get my
ghost. You know what? I got to agree with him. I remember playing Destiny on PlayStation.
Yeah.
And he's right. I got used to that, man. And it was just awkward doing it on Xbox, you know?
Yeah. So. For me, I like it for maps. A lot of games use it for maps. So yeah. It's kind of just
see, that's click that's on good. It. That's really good.
Yeah. So that's a good function. But like the actual touchpad part.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though. Like you're just talking about that. Again, it brings back to the start of this last gen, 2013. All the little gimmicks that were happening. So that was like Sony's gimmick was the trackpad and the light thing was supposed to track with the Move controllers. And then obviously you had Kinect on the Xbox side, you know, and it's like we look back now and go, God, that was so silly. But at the time we're like, oh man, this is going to be so cool. Oh, I can't wait. Because remember the other gimmick was the games were like, I remember Battlefield, was it 4? I guess it was 4. Whatever Battlefield that came out around the launch was – they were doing like the maps were on the iPad. Remember there was that whole iPad connectivity thing. Because I think even the original Division at first had like some kind of feature like that. Yeah. All that stuff went away. All was going.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I understand that all these developers were kind of like testing the waters to see what worked, and some was successful and some were just horrible, man.
I appreciate the attempt. It wasn't that, oh, that was such a dumb idea, because I honestly at the time I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Yeah. Let's try and see.
Yeah.
And it just didn't
take off. What was the other one that during the Xbox press conference was all the power of the cloud?
Yeah, that's right. The power of the cloud. Like that didn't really come to fruition right now.
All right, go for it.
No. This is a good thing. I think it was a gimmick at the time. Where, you know, a marketing term. But I think as we go into this next gen, we are going to see them taking advantage of using Azure to push down certain assets and to hold certain things that you don't need to necessarily have the power of the heart. Honestly, Project X Cloud is that. That's exactly what it is. It's Azure. It's what they were talking about back in 2013, 2014. Coming to fruition now. And I know, Tony, you're going to talk about it in a second, but literally this whole cloud streaming stuff that we're doing right now, that was the start of all that was back then. But yeah, I mean, dude, you know how PR, I guarantee you E3 this year, there's someone's going to get on stage and have a new gimmick marketing term, the power of blah, 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 or whatever, you know?
Well, what is it? Play your
dreams.
Dream power, something.
Power your dreams.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for the new blast processor, man. That's what I want to see.
From Sega Genesis, yeah. No, Tony, I have Project X Cloud. You play for the first time using the Xbox controller and my phone. It's a Galaxy S9 Plus. It's not a new phone. It's not that old. It's only like a year old or so.
Yeah.
So you got to play it. It was Destiny. I don't know why you picked that game.
But yeah, it was like loading forever. You know?
It took forever to load, but that's the game.
Yeah.
But overall, your experience trying it for the first time, man.
Yeah, just going into it, I was very, very skeptical about it, right? Because I've tried on live, right? I've tried PlayStation Now, and I've always felt that, you know, lag, right? You know, you feel it. And the reason I picked Destiny, even though it loads it forever, I'm like, I need a game that, like, I need quick reflexes for, right? So I was like, all right, let me try this, right? And don't get me wrong, Danny. You know, I believe in everything. I was like, nah, he's got to be BSing here. Like, no way, right? Jumping into Destiny, yo, it felt right. There was no lag or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it felt the way it's supposed to feel, you know?
And we're playing using the Wi-Fi of the hotel, which is not that great.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Hotels, their Wi-Fi is horrible. I want you to try it out later after we finish recording using just strictly 4G. But I want you to pick another game.
Yeah.
And we'll go from there.
Yeah,
and
something that loads less, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something that loads less.
Yeah. No, but I was surprised. Like, and it's cool. Like, you know, you were talking about how you travel a lot, right? So it's like, yo, if you're not home, whatever, pop that in. As long as you got internet connection, obviously, you play what you want. And then come back home, pick up where you left off. It's dope, man. I really like, you know, and we talked about this before, how like, you know, Xbox's failures at the beginning of this generation forced them to start being innovative, you know? And now we're getting all this really cool stuff, you know, from the company, you know, and that's where you kind of want the companies to be. You want to kind of be against the wall a little bit so they have no choice but to move forward, you know?
Yeah. And I think this is going to be a game changer because it worked for Nintendo with the Switch, play on the TV and you're playing on the go. And it's kind of the same thing that you could do with this once this is available like in all devices. But I'm playing, let's say, Halo Infinite. I'm into the story. I'm going somewhere else. Hey, you know what? Let me take my phone with me and my controller and continue playing at the airport or at a bus or a train.
Yeah.
I think it's cool, man.
Yeah, it's cool. You know? And then, you know, and I'm glad I played it with a controller because a lot of people think like, oh, you're going to play on your phone. People think when you think about this stuff, you think you're swiping on your phone and stuff. You're not going to be able to look at the screen. It's like, no, just play with a controller.
Yeah, you're good to go. I mean, there is an option. I mean, not this one, but yeah. I know they are planning to have controllers on the phone once you...
Yeah, controls, yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't do that.
I would not do that, but I think they have it there in case maybe somebody just downloaded the app, has the streaming service, and they don't have the funds to buy a controller at that moment. Maybe they could play that as a temporary thing, and then in the future buy the controller.
Yeah,
that's possible too.
Yeah, no, but I was very impressed, man.
Yeah, good. Paris, you were gonna say something about?
No, I was just gonna say because I don't think we talked. I think this happened after the last time we did like the daily conversation, or whatever. Because I have Project XCloud now.
Yes,
at home.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this.
Yeah, go.
So
we never talked about.
So I reached out to Xbox and requested if I could get into beta, and they hooked me up right away. And I don't have an Android phone. So that was my whole reason for now. I'm like, I can't do it on Android. But then I realized, well, I have the NVIDIA Shield, you know, because NVIDIA just sent me that new Shield. And I'm like, wait, can you sideload it on there? So I went on Reddit and looked, and people have been doing it where they just sideload the app onto their NVIDIA Shield. So sure enough, I got the code. I sideloaded the app on there. Dude, playing it right there on my big screen works just fine. And obviously, I'm not doing Wi-Fi or anything. It's plugged in. But yeah, just very similar to Stadia and GeForce Now. I have no latency issues, nothing. The only thing is, which is not that big of a deal, is it is 720p, and I can definitely tell it's 720p on the big screen. But yeah, dude, I was playing Halo Master Chief Collection. I was playing Destiny 2, played some Gears 5. I did some Ori on there. All of it worked just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's, dude, look, and I know I'm the Stadia hater guy. Everyone thinks I hate Stadia, but... They got 80 games on there now.
That's crazy.
Now.
They just added three.
Added a few more. But it's like you look at Project xCloud, which is a beta compared to what Stadia is as a full production thing. Like I will have my entire Xbox library at my fingertips when the thing comes out. Games that I own, I do not have to go buy them again. If I have Game Pass, I'm already subbed into it. You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like they're doing it the right way. It's not the primary way you play games, it's a supplement. So if I want to fire it up casually on the Shield, I can. If casually on the phone, iPad, when the iOS stuff comes out, whatever, it's going to be there. Web browser and that stuff, but it's not those things aren't there yet, but it's a beta, so they're not supposed to be. Whereas certain someone should have all that stuff right now. That's all I'm saying. One last thing on the cloud streaming. So I've been doing more GeForce Now stuff. So yeah, I've even in the last few nights, I'll just play Portal 2. Through the NVIDIA Shield out there in my living room. It's all just streaming up from the cloud. Works great. So there is a place for cloud gaming. I totally can see it. It'll never be my primary way to play. I'll always want local hardware to play on. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if you're on the bus in a pinch, or you know, you just want to be in another room and quickly play like, you know, a casual game or something, that option is going to be there for you. And that's the great thing about this stuff.
Yeah. Think of this for everybody that are planning to get a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X in the future. Imagine you get home, you have your physical game, you have to install it or you have to download it from the store. It's a process. You have to wait, right? Think of it this. Imagine you buy Horizon Zero Dawn. And you already got it. You play it while it's in the background installing, but you're playing it through PlayStation Now. Once the game is already fully installed, you could continue the game, but you're playing it as a streaming, as while the game is installing. I could see that in the future for this next gen console, both of them, with Xbox and PlayStation. That we don't have to wait until it's installed. We could play instantly within seconds until the game is already in your console.
Yeah, and the way things are going up, you know, people want things right away. So, yeah. like, Sony really has to, you know, step up and do this too. Because again, that's crazy. I'm playing this game on a phone and it works just the same. And, you know, Paris, you were talking about this too. It's like 720 on your phone. Looks fine. You know?
Yeah.
So that's dope. And yeah, people are definitely going to want that. It's like, why? Like, I'm thinking about it like this. Like, okay, if you're playing your game at home, right? And you're like, yo, I want to go somewhere. I'm like, yo, why am I just locked to my house right now? You know, when you see people on Switch and, you know, on Xbox, like doing all this stuff. So Sony, they need to really come up with something, man.
And I
like,
think
they have
they
PS Now, but I don't know if you could play it on your phone.
No, but they remember a couple months ago, they signed a deal with Microsoft. They're going to be using Microsoft's servers for that.
Yeah.
For PlayStation Now in the future. So I think they're going to do pretty good with that, man. So, but my question to you guys, how important is streaming for like countries like Japan that doesn't really care about Xbox at all, but they love mobile. They love that whole portable stuff. That even Nintendo Switch has been a huge success over there, you know. And they also have a couple streaming games on the Switch that you can play on the go to in Japan.
I think it's going to be a big hit in the place, some place like Korea, right? In South Korea. I think it'll be a big hit there. They're going to struggle in Japan no matter what. And the reason being is, yeah, the tech is great. It'll work on mobile devices, which obviously, you know, you see a lot of use of that in Japan. But you're still asking them to subscribe to Game Pass or actually go buy the games. And the struggle Xbox is going to have, because it's not going to happen right away. It'll be a few years down the road. They got to build that library up to the point where they now have enticing Japanese style games that are going to entice a Japanese gamer to want to play. Look, Phil didn't tweet that he was in Japan for no reason. There's a reason he was in Japan. I mean, whether they reveal that at E3 or whatever the case, it's clear they still have an Asian strategy that they want to penetrate that market. And the only way you do it is with games that will appeal to that market. So how do you do that? Start acquiring some Japanese studios. That's what you got to do.
And we had this conversation in Paris, and I hope I wish we could record this.
Yeah.
Who is the companies that is possible for Microsoft to acquire? Because we were in shock when we found out that they acquired Rare back in the days. Are we going to see something like that?
See, I don't think so. I don't think so. Well, like the conversation we had, I think it'll be AA to small type a Japanese studio. I don't see them, because I mean, you're literally saying, are they going to acquire Sega or Capcom?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying, but it's like, look, man, money talks.
But
look, it's the same thing with Minecraft. Like, who thought
Microsoft? No. And I don't disagree with you, but I'm just thinking logically right now when I think of a Japanese studio. I mean, when they acquired Rare, that would have been the equivalent of acquiring a Capcom. It's the same thing at that time.
Yeah.
So are we really thinking in 2020 that's who it would have to be? It would have to be them, Sega. Who am I missing? Because, look, sure as hell ain't going to be Nintendo.
It's not Capcom. It's not Sega. It's not
Platinum.
Level 5 is still around?
I don't know. Platinum Games, I guess, would be the other one.
I don't see Platinum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't see that one either.
Yeah.
Software, I don't see that
either. That's what I'm saying. So it's got to be a smaller studio.
It's going to be a very interesting E3.
Yo, I got a question, though.
Yeah.
Do you think he is there to acquire a studio? Because everybody's just jumping on
that. I think it's a mix of both. I think it's a mix of showing about their services.
Yeah.
Presenting that services to all these studios. About the console, talk about it, present it, and maybe some studio, acquiring the studio too. Maybe, I don't know, who knows?
I don't necessarily think it's a full-on, well, we're acquiring a studio, but they're absolutely, like, they obviously had the partnership with Platinum Games for Scalebound, right? So maybe something similar to that with another studio.
That too.
But regardless, they, look again, let's just bring PlayStation into this, right? So PlayStation clearly has games that can cater to a Japanese market, right? Just Bloodborne as an example, something like that, right? You know, they obviously will jump into RPG things. What's the Xbox RPG that appeals to a Japanese gamer? Are they gonna dust off Blue Dragon or Lost Odyssey?
But let me tell you, that was back in the early...
That was like 08?
07, 08. 08?
And
it got a little attention.
But that's what you got to do, though. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, are they going... Well, I mean, God, I guess Tecmo was technically... So maybe it's a Tecmo.
But Tecmo... What Tecmo is doing now?
Well, don't they still own the rights to Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
What if all of a sudden Ninja Gaiden became an Xbox exclusive? I'm just thinking outside the box of things that they could do. But, you know, clearly Nintendo is Nintendo. You're not competing. Yeah. They're the best developer in the world.
That's not going to happen.
PlayStation, even PlayStation, when you really think about it, I mean, yeah, I mean, they have a bigger presence than Xbox in Japan, but it ain't that big. Even them struggle slightly in Japan.
No, they're both struggling.
Xbox, yeah, but Xbox is just like rock bottom. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, he's clearly over there to try and build that presence. But honestly, they've been trying to build that presence since 2001. It just ain't working.
But they're not giving up. But that's the thing.
But they're not giving up. Yeah.
They're trying new things. And that's what I'm saying. I think Project X Cloud could be the solution for that, because people don't really no need to buy a console. They could just get into the service using their phones.
It goes back to the games, though. I don't care about Project X Cloud if you don't have anything on it that I want to play. Because, look, again, I guess we're Japanese talk right now. They don't care about Halo. They don't care about Gears. They don't care about Forza. They don't seem to care about Ori. They don't seem to care about Cuphead. They don't seem to care. What else is there?
Well, Cuphead for Nintendo Switch was a success over there. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, it's because the same exact it was on a system that they prefer.
It's the Switch.
You know, like the Xbox has always had issues there in Japan. You know,
I think it's and just and the that's
that
name
old.
Too, man.
No, it's not that. It's that old stigma. They, you know, it's like, remember the old saying? It's like, oh, it's West. Anything Western is crap. That's what they believe over there.
Yeah.
You know, so that stigma is still there. But I want to jump on the whole, you know, because you were talking about the Asian market, right? Next to Japan, I could see xCloud blowing up in China. I could see that. Like, that would be a huge market. If they do that successfully, obviously they'd have to contend with all the censorship and all that other stuff. That would be the big thing. But if they could capture even like a 1% of that market, forget about it.
Yeah,
I think their biggest shots is going to be South Korea and India. Yeah. But then, like you said, with China, there's going to be a lot of different regulations, how they're going to conform to all that kind of stuff. But that obviously would be huge for them too.
Yeah.
And again, maybe I'm being pessimistic about it, but I don't think Japan. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, I honestly don't.
Yeah.
I really don't either.
I don't think Japan. I think it's too late. I just do. I just think that market is what it is, and it will require just a complete overhaul to be able to truly penetrate it. Xbox has a reputation of not being good there. Just does.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Anything else? Anything else we could talk about, or are we good?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to give out any stories. So we're here in San Francisco
now. Very quick. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
so ahead, this is my first time in San Francisco, right? And everybody's always telling me about like the hills and stuff. Yo. Basically what happened is, you know, we're out here for an event we cannot talk about right now. And I was done at 1:30, right? So I'm like, all right, yo, I'm going to go explore the city. You know what I'm saying? So I get down to the end of the block. I get a phone call from Danny.
Like, but wait, you saw the hill?
Yeah, I saw the hill. Like I saw the hill that was going up, and I'm like, all right, that's not too bad. I could do that, you know. You know, the one from the hotel. I was like, that's not too bad. I looked at the other one, the one we eventually went down. I was like, yeah, I'm not going down there, you know.
Yeah.
So Danny calls me and he's like, yo, Tony, I just got the hotel. You know, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm about to go explore. So he's like, yo, wait for me, you know. And I was telling Danny, he's like, yo, I don't believe I'm not religious or believe in fate or nothing, but it was like Providence or something that you called me. Because, yo, me and Danny, we went down to this like pizza spot, just going down the hill. Because if you guys don't know, I'm in a wheelchair, right? So, and I get around pretty well, right? Yo, these hills tested me, bro.
It was very challenging. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Like, I'm like proud of the calluses I have on my hands. They were tested today. I was feeling hot, like just searing, you know?
Yeah. And I'm there behind holding Tony, like, yo, Tony, we got this. And then, what's even worse was going up.
Oh my God. That was crazy.
Now I don't know how they people could do it here. I don't know.
We saw this one chick with these thick legs. Like, yeah, you have to have legs like that just to get around in this city.
Yeah,
you know?
You can tell it works out like crazy. Yeah. People work out doing that, man, going up and down those hills, man.
It's yeah, insane. Like I heard this is one of the healthiest cities in America. I could believe it. You know,
and then at the end, yo, Tony and I, we were like looking at each other like, yo, I want water, man.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, bro.
It was no joke, man. But yeah, other than that, beautiful city, man. It's cool that I came out here, you know, got to see you guys, you know. Definitely. And these are my favorite kind of podcasts, not over the internet, just talking, you know.
Talking face to face and everything. Yeah.
These are the best, you know.
Yeah, nothing beats this, man. You know, so. Hey, you want to promote your show? People want to check
it
out?
Yeah, man. Throwdown, if you guys don't know. So you can go over to Twitter. It's @Throwdown Show, one word. And we're going to hit episode 300 of both of our podcasts. Throw down and throw on your questions. So that's going to be pretty dope. We'll do something special, you know. And then you could, you know, follow me on Twitter at Romudeth, R-O-M-U-D-T-H. And my bio, you see links to all my stuff. I don't talk as much smack as I used to back in the day, but I'm still pretty entertaining. I'm not as entertaining as Paris these days. But,
oh, no, Paris, yeah. Like going back and forth with everybody. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, other than that, man, thank you for having me on. You know, it's always great seeing you live, you know, like in real life. And I see you like all the time now, you know, Danny.
Yeah. We always go to events and everything over there. It's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Anything else, Paris, before I wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm going to address the Twitter thing that you just said right now.
Here it goes.
So, you know, people that follow me on Twitter obviously know I'm not afraid to give my opinion at all. And if you reply to me, because, okay, let me say it this way. I'm going to start this way. Yeah. Console wars are dumb. They are dumb. They are childish. It is very immature to worry about what someone else is playing. Why do you care? If I like to play on a PC, good for me. If you like to play on the Xbox, good for you. Neither one of us should care if Danny likes to play on the Nintendo Switch. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. So when I might tweet something that has absolutely nothing to do with a console war, but your reply to me is about the stupid console war, I'm going to reply something very petty, and I'm going to say it's dumb. I'm just letting you know that right now. I'm 46 years old. I don't care. I really don't care. So I'm just warning you now. If you want to tweet at me, if you want to become Twitter famous because I will tweet quote you and call you dumb, then God bless you, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Because I really don't care, you know. But all the hateful, vile stuff and all that stuff, I'll just mute you and I'll ignore you, because that's just a waste of time. But my advice to everyone out there, play and enjoy whatever you want. That's it. It's your money. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Look, my mom told me this 30 years ago. Worry about yourself. That's it.
Yeah, that's
it. As long as you worry about yourself, you're fine. And again, be it Xbox, PlayStation, freaking Intellivision, it doesn't matter.
ColecoVision.
Enjoy whatever you want to enjoy. That's all. That's my message of the day. Oh, and last thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Kobe Bryant stuff that happened earlier this week, it definitely brought some perspective for me. It really made me look at my own mortality, because, bro, we could be gone tomorrow. You just don't know. You really don't know. So my other advice to everyone out there, you know, drop the petty grudges. Drop the petty beef. If there's a loved one out there that you are not talking to, pick them up on the phone. Tell them you love them. Period. Hug your kids. Kiss your wife. Do all that stuff. Let the people that matter to you know that you care before it's too late. Now, that's just real talk. So that's it.
Yep. All right. And on that note, head over to GamerTagRadio.com and listen to our past episodes. And remember, February 10th is our 1,000th episode with Phil Spencer. That's coming out that day, 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And remember, hit us up, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com, or call us 76-273-7GTR. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.